When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Where's Super Mario and all this? Is Mario do...
Mario is right over here.
Oh, let's see. Now, can you do Mario? And what are these? These are like 3D glasses here.
Well, actually, Mario, he is here on the screen.
Uh-huh.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here. I don't have it on at the moment, but today we put on our little press hats.
Yeah.
And we got ourselves some scoops.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We went and saw that big body of King Kong that had fallen down in the...
Taking a flash photography.
Yeah. The press running up to that being like... Yes. Yeah. We've got a story here, boys.
King Kong's PR.
What do you call this big monkey?
King Kong's PR person coming over and making you sign an embargo.
Yeah.
Not allowed to talk about the dead ape until midnight on Wednesday.
You aren't allowed to mention the fur, but you can talk about that he's generally brown.
Yes.
We went and saw a little video game from the fine people. We went to Mario's house.
Yes.
Yep.
And... he showed us his game. We played a bit of Super Mario Wonder
today. Yeah.
Yeah, we got invited by Nintendo out to their headquarters.
Yeah, in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
Beautiful Scoresby. Australia's most undepressing town.
You went to Hungry Jack's, Knox?
Yeah, I went to a Servo Hungry Jack's, no less.
Yep.
Not my... I wasn't hungry after, to be fair.
It wasn't your cup of tea.
No, and I asked for a cup of tea and they said, we're a burger shop. And I went, okay, so fucking mince one up or, you know, blend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dip it in a water. I don't know.
Dry out the leaves.
I'm not going to tell you how to cook it. I'm just demanding what you make me.
Well, but this was a Hungry Jack's next to the service station, so I'm surprised they didn't go, why don't you just fucking go over there and get yourself a little bag of Lipton?
They might have said that. I was screaming too loud to be able to hear them.
Yeah.
Because they're out of the Szechuan sauce.
People kept calling me a Karen, which I think is young people for cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. I just was reading that.
You had him real rizzed up.
Fleek, man. But
something that is not mid is Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
We played little pieces and patches of it. It was sort of like a guided demo that we got to play. A lot of it in like four-player mode, which was too hectic for me to be able to track.
Is that why you were so bad at it?
That's why we were all so bad at it. It's cool that it's in there, but the multiplayer Mario in the new Super Mario Brothers one has never been for me either.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a family thing, right? Like,
absolutely.
You have your kids because you almost can't die, basically.
And those Yoshis literally can't.
Yes.
The Yoshis and the Nabbit were there to be the sort of easy mode for little kids you want, not wrecking your shit.
It is cool that they, in the new Super Mario Brothers ones, you could you can pick up characters and chuck them around, which... ends up making it even more chaotic. So I like the fact that that is gone. It does seem like you could, if you had four people, or I think it'd be fun with two. Four ends up being pretty hectic, but it does seem like it would be easier or like more enjoyable to actually like play through the levels with other people and not just like people throwing each other off cliffs and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
you don't
deteriorate into that as quickly.
You don't bonk each other on the head if you're passing through each other.
Yes. Yep.
But yeah, it's cool that it's in there. It's like you can swap and all of that. But I came away from this, but partly because of New Super Mario Brothers and me never being into that splinter of the Mario family tree.
Mm-hmm. You're more of a Raphael guy.
Splinter's like the authority figure. Of course I hate him. I like Raphael, who's like, dude, fuck you, rat.
Yeah.
I'm the cool one, but rude.
Yeah.
So this felt a lot more like the 3D world splinter of the family tree. Branch might be the more traditional word.
Yeah, it's only splintering if you're fucking breaking it.
Tiny little trees.
That's a tree for ants.
So obviously, 2D, like the new ones, which is why I was like, oh, these are like the new ones. But a lot more visually looks fucking great.
Looks so good.
Looks so good.
Really pops.
Yeah.
The clean, crisp, colorful look of that game is really nice to watch in motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has a bit more. I saw some other previews where they said that this feels more like it could have been like the direct sequel to Super Mario World. Like right. It feels like Super Mario Brothers 5 or whatever.
Kind of.
I kind of agree. It does feel like, yeah, I agree with you that the new ones always felt like they were there. They were kind of fun, but they just weren't, they didn't have that same level of like charm and silliness and creativity to them that each iterative one did for a bit.
It's the creativity part where I felt like those new ones, they were fine. Like
I really liked them, and mainly because I really like 2D platformers.
Yeah,
and they're very stripped back, like your sort of like bare bones meat and potatoes 2D platformers. Yeah. Those ones I felt, which isn't like they do a good job of that, but I like the more out there kind of wacky ideas.
Yeah, famously. Yeah.
The kind of twisted take that you might get from the Joker, for example, my idol.
Well, people looking on camera will be able to see you're a bit left of center.
I'm somewhat on the outskirts.
It takes so long to calibrate the cameras just so you can be just a little bit 2 degrees left of center.
I simply shan't be in the middle.
Yeah, I think you actually are dead center. So.
I probably am.
New Super Mario Brothers. It's a solid 2D platformer, but it just is. It's kind of missing that element of,
I guess, like the innovation thing,
unexpected,
right?
And yeah, I mean, these games at a certain period were like, when a new one would come out, it would be like, oh, they're really doing something like different and new and fresh, and they, at a certain point, and this is fine, they just kind of stopped doing that with these. And I mean, this for me, when they announced it, became my most anticipated game of the year, which is crazy in a year of such big AAA games. But
I agree. This isn't fucking insane.
Yeah, it's a bit stupid.
This isn't a sort of
crazy
game that
I'd have said dumb as hell.
This isn't a sort of game that I thought they would make anymore. As a 2D Mario, I thought they just had resigned themselves to, we just churn out the new ones every now and then. We save the innovation for the 3D ones. So this is like exactly the sort of game I've, like, you know, wished that they would make for the last few years. So yeah,
I think that innovation part of it too is not so much in, like, there's some new mechanics and stuff that we can talk about some of, but it's that the new ones felt like obstacle courses. Every level was an obstacle course that you're running through, and we were sort of racing through these, and it was chaotic because there's four of us and we're also sort of being guided and we're on a time limit and whatever.
Yeah.
But there's little sections of each level where you get just a small little puzzle that's maybe to do with that level's theme, or is like, oh, there's this different type of enemy here in this level and you've got to use that enemy in some way to get to this. You get little purple wonder seeds, right?
Yes.
And there's a few different collectibles that you get through each level. Similar to in the previous ones and in the 3D World ones, there's like the big gold coins or whatever that you're trying to, and in the new ones. But the way they were placed here, it didn't feel like obstacle course as much as like the 3D World ones. Here's this little block that's like this fun idea. Here's the next block that's this fun idea. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, more like, platforming as opposed to like speed running almost, or like, you know, you're not just going forwards, you are figuring something out and there's vertical, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, and that was a surprise to me in the 2D format, because it, is more like the 3D World and Land, how they played in a 2D format than new with different aspects to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and little bits that you can potentially,
from not that long of playing it, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
Lots of bits, even just in the short, what did we play, like six or seven levels or something like that total? Even just in that pretty limited sample, there were lots of bits in levels, you know, the sort of thing that you kind of run past and you're like, oh, how do you get down there or up to there? And then you kind of realize, like, oh, I didn't have that power up at the time. I have to go, you know, just those sorts of little things that you see where you kind of don't know how to do it for a second. And then you get a bit further down the line and you realize, like, oh, wait, if I go back now, I'll be able to, like, all that kind of stuff that is, like, I in interviews, the director and the producer have talked about how they wanted this one to be, the levels to be really replayable.
Right.
Where they felt like for a long time the Mario levels had become, you put a lot of design into them, but people just kind of blitz through them and that's that. And even with the Wonder Flower effects in this game, which kind of warp the level and make all this weird stuff happen, and then you get to the end of it and you get a Wonder Seed as the reward for finishing that bit. But they're also, I think, at times are incentives to go through the level and not get the Wonder Flower then there'll be some of those collectibles are in the normal version of the level. So it's really inspiring you to, like, and the same with the badges, like, go through and, like, they want these levels to be able to be played a couple of times and have different stuff in them depending on, like, what badge or
lots of little visible openings that, and you know how much I rather. But, like, where you can clearly see, oh, if I could get up there, then that's clearly a secret bit.
It's almost like a really light Metroidvania thing because, there are, like, power-ups and stuff that affect your movement, you know, range and jump range and things like that where, you can go back and, like, oh, now I can get this thing, which is not, it's not like a Metroidvania in which you're, like, unlocking a separate area. It's just, like, clocking the level, getting 100%, basically.
Which was the thing I really enjoyed about the 3D world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always been, like, a classic Mario thing where you have your little power up, you get hit, you lose the power, and then just a little bit down the way you're, like, oh, God damn it, I need that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if I still had that, I'd be able to get in there. Yeah. I'm going to have to go through this all again.
Those badges that you mentioned before are a thing that I didn't realize was in this game.
No,
they might have talked about it before, but I don't remember it.
I don't know.
They're just little items. You can equip one before the level, and it'll give you some ability or bonus thing. Mm. So, like, you can float. You got a little parachute, like Rayman spinning his hair, ears? What does he spin? He's not
his
a
hair,
rabbit.
I think.
It's hair. Yeah.
So in these sorts of games, in like Mario Brothers 2 and in 3D World, all the characters kind of control slightly differently. They'll have slightly different attributes. They control the same in this because, things like Luigi having his little flutter jump and Peach being able to float, that's been turned into
a little power-up
thing. Badge. So they have to kind of make all the characters a bit of a blank slate to allow for these little tweaks that you can do. There was a wall jump one that we used.
Yep.
There was a floating jump.
The chargey jump.
Squat down and then you can get more height. And then there are, I think they're kind of meant to be halfway, like some of them will let you get to areas in a level that you wouldn't be otherwise able to get to get a collectible or a hidden secret or whatever. And then some of them feel like they're there for if you're a more inexperienced or younger player to like make things a little bit easier on you. Like half of them are like meant to sort of, you know, give you a little bit of a guiding thing.
Or it'll be like one of them was like get more coins.
Yeah.
And so some of them are just like increase your coin amount.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah, increase your coin amount.
There's been a few games like this recently that we've played that have had this like equip, what was it? What was like equip this ring and it's you're basically playing easy mode.
Final Fantasy had that.
Yeah, or like the time widens the window of the timing of button presses you have to do for combos and stuff like that. Yeah.
Just real light, like what slide ability do you
want?
And it was a good time. Like this, there was so much character and presentation wise, just so full of life in a way that I found the new Mario Brothers games, especially, to not particularly be. Or to like, because you know the first one when they were like bop bop and would turn to look at you, that was like, oh look, they're dancing.
That was cool.
And then
because
they did
like,
that for 20 years.
Exactly. Yeah, that was cool because it was like, oh, they've made a 2D Mario again for the first time forever, and it's on the DS. Like, oh, cool, a little handheld new Mario platformer. But yeah, they really wore it out.
Oh,
the
man.
Wii one especially, which did seem to be like. They really lent into the like, play this with four people and you're chucking each other off cliffs and it's like, this is fine for what it is, but it's not what I want out of a 2D Mario platformer.
But this is.
Yeah.
At like all of the little Wonder Flower things and the way it changed up the levels and gave you just a cool little set piece kind of thing going on was a fun little surprise and a cool thing to see, and I just really want to play this game now. It really it got me in to the 2D Mario space again, which is a space I've not occupied.
Well, it's that thing where they talk about I saw a lot of stuff about this after the first trailer for it, where in the new Super Mario Brothers games they were just kind of using a 3D render of Mario and kind of having him side on, mm-hmm. which doesn't look aesthetically that great. And then in this, they've kind of like cheated it, you know, like he's kind of 2/3 of the way around, and even little things like you do a ground pound in this and it's like a cool like cymbal crash. Like,
oh, yeah,
it's not
yeah.
just like, oh, it's like a boom of him hitting the ground. It's all got like a bit of, they've gone, yeah, it's a cartoon.
Yeah,
like, let's
totally.
Have him make a weird little noise when he jumps.
Animated reactions in their faces to stuff that's happening mm. and like really nice looking designs of enemies and things like that that are like new for this game and aren't just like, here's fucking the Koopas again.
Yeah.
There's probably Koopas, I don't remember, but like also some new things, and I do remember those guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
They were, yeah.
I mean, we were all elephants at one point. We were sloshing around in a pond.
Yeah, that was sick.
Filling our little trunks up.
Yeah.
Splashing water around everywhere. It's like, yeah, this is the good shit.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's only less than a month away now, and it's a good indication that this game will be a lot more engaging for me. In the way that Mario Odyssey and 3D right. World
yeah,
and all
yeah,
of those
yeah.
have been, because I like the brief piecemeal little, here's something different, here's something different, here's something different way that Mario can do things, rather than the, here's the course, run, run, run
mm-hmm. yep.
for the whole game.
So it's going to be, if you're going to PAX in Melbourne in a couple of weeks, it's going to be...
In one week,
yeah. There'll be a demo of it there that you can play, which are worth checking out.
Yeah.
And after you've done that, you could come upstairs to the Galah Theatre on the Saturday night and catch us at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Doing our little panel with some special guests. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Should come we check that out?
Should we haven't said who the guests are. What
Let's
the guests
not in
are.
Case they pull out.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Golden rule.
At least we'll be there for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And maybe some guests from the stars of stage and screen.
Mario
Absolutely.
Might be busy.
Yeah.
In the end. Yeah, that'll be a good time if you are at PAX. Please come and fill up the room that we've got. That'd be very, very nice.
Yeah.
Mm. Bring some friends. Tell some other people to go.
Toddling around, you know, the previous couple of days.
Well, that's the other thing. Mm. Yeah, we'll be doing the panel about, like, WhatsApp PAX.
Yeah.
And I'm
and what
really
things happened to us.
Just the crazy adventures we got up to.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see some mostly, I suppose, indie games there.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is my impression of what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
Now that we've played that Mario Wonder today, mm-hmm. don't have to worry about lining up at PAX. Can put all that time into lining up to play Sonic Superstars.
I'm going
to
spend a ton of time there, though, so I can tell all of the people in the line, like, I actually got to go to Nintendo and play
this.
Oh,
that's a good bit.
Well, pass, like,
actually pulled me along.
Turns out Darth Vader's Luke's dad.
Yeah. Standing next to people playing it, being like, you're going to want to jump here.
Hey, hot tip, hold beta run.
Yeah.
Oh.
Actually,
no.
Why?
Yeah.
Hold A to jump.
Hold A to jump.
No, B.
Hold and, B to jump.
Y and B.
A is the confirm button on menus.
Yeah. Adam wasn't actually at Nintendo with us
no,
today.
No, I was. They may be the boss. Yeah, good game, seems like.
Yeah.
Looking forward to playing some more of that. But early indication is, get this, hot scoop, Mario might be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those cunnies know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Speaking of PAX Australia,
mm-hmm.
which contains the country Australia
in
its name, here in Australia, do you know the ratings board?
How does he do it with these segues?
Clunkily and for a long time. I think it's the ratings board here has...
The ESRB? Is that Australia?
That's, I think, America. Right. I think ours is just the Australian Classifications Authority or something like that. The Classifications Board. ACCA-DACCA.
Oh, now we're fucking talking.
Yes.
I classify that as sick rock and roll.
Over here, for clarity, for anyone who doesn't have the same rating system there, it goes G, general, PG, parental guidance, but anyone can buy it. M is like, you're meant to be 15 plus, but you don't legally
we
have
won't
to
hold
be.
You to it.
Yeah.
Sort
yeah.
of a recommendation.
Parental, well, again, like, it's up to your parents or your guardians to be like,
we reckon they should be over 15, but hey, not everybody plays by the rules.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
MA, play by the rules.
You have
Bring
to.
Out your ID, thank you.
You need to be 16, no, 15 or over, and then R is 18 and over.
And X is sexy.
We don't talk about X. They pretend like it doesn't exist. Does it still exist?
Great question.
Not in games, certainly.
I don't know if it existed in Australia.
Because we didn't have R for the longest time, and now we do, and they've changed it regarding...
That's a dentist's favorite rating. R.
I guess it could be.
Yeah.
A pirate's, surely.
Pirates aren't real.
A pirate dentist would fucking love the R rating. Anyway, the thing is, relating to gambling and loot boxes, if a game from September of next year contains...
So there's a grace period, basically.
They've got a year to get their shit out, so maybe we'll get some fucking shithouse gambling games within the next year. If you contain simulated gambling... That's an automatic R rating.
Mm-hmm.
So casino games, stuff like that, anything where it's pretending to be gambling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you have like randomized loot box style rewards.
Sure.
I think specifically for money, but I don't know if that is actually it. I think it may just be if that is how your game presents rewards.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's an automatic M.
Right.
Which is fascinating because that means FIFA is M. Oh, right, sorry, yeah. EA Sports 25 will be M. EAFC. Fuck my... EAFC...
Don't want to push us into the R rating.
25.
You censored yourself.
So...
Because that's like player packs and shit like that.
All of that stuff. Overwatch is already violent, so that... But EAFC...
Yeah.
FIFA is...
EAFC sounds like some other ratings board, actually.
It sounds like a Pirates' favorite soccer game.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Now you know how I...
Because there's always been a thing where it'll be like some cutesy 3D platform that gets like a PG rating. And people are like, what's this all about? And it's like comic mischief. It's like if someone gets bonked with a mallet or something.
That's very funny that they're like, no, I reckon that character's got a bit of an attitude. Yeah. There's comic mischief in there.
And I do think there has been... I have seen things before where it's like if there's a level in a casino and you can like jump on a slot machine.
Yep.
GTA San Andreas and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be like, oh, well, you can go in a casino in it and that's, you know, it's not good for little kitties.
No.
Sonic 2 on the Dreamcast had that. And like, maybe it was even Sonic 1. I don't remember. Sonic Adventure. I mean, Sonny. I'm so worn out by the excitement of seeing Mario's bedroom.
It's a long trip out there, we have to say.
Yeah. Oh.
So that is a great move.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Gambling should be legislated up the fucking wazoo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's weird that the video games and movie and TV ratings board is ahead of the curve in terms of like gambling advertising restrictions in particular as compared to the rest of... our country.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, good move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No harm there.
No harm, no foul.
It gets the filthy casuals triple thumbs up.
Yeah.
Only one thumb from each of us. Sometimes you can get the sextuple thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we save that for games.
Exactly.
Three is the max we'll ever give out for legislation.
Yeah.
So congratulations, rating board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've done
You're the rating of the year.
Rating entertained, more like.
Yeah.
Now, you've also written Like a Dragon.
Yeah, there was a Like a Dragon direct.
Up on our whiteboard that directs us what we want to talk about.
Yes.
During the week. I use
this for when we have conversations as friends.
Too. Yeah. We get our little deck of cards
out. So, Tommy, how's your sex life? a question I've never sincerely asked anybody.
No, I don't care.
I never want to talk about it with anyone, even if I'm having sex with them.
Yeah.
I never want to know, ever, from anyone.
Well, I'll tell you this. My sex life's about to get a lot worse in January 24th, 2024, when...
1-24-24.
Yeah. Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth comes out.
Yes.
Because... damned if this game doesn't look fucking awesome.
Yeah.
There was a little direct presentation showing off kind of... because we've only seen that very vague trailer of...
The Austin Powers one.
The Austin Powers style trailer of him washing up nude on the beach.
Yes. Was this... this would have been from TGS, Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah.
That was on last week and there was some...
yeah.
Bits and pieces from that. Nothing too crazy, but like Dragon's Dogma had some gameplay.
I think they did this
because it was going to be shown on the show floor of Tokyo Game Show. So we got a little bit of a look at the story and the gameplay. It's set in Hawaii. It's Ichiban heading over there to find his long lost mother.
Yes.
And getting into some scrapes along the way. He's fighting a shark. Yeah. He's doing a bit of crazy taxi style minigame stuff. It just looks awesome. It looks... I was saying to you, Ben, it's like kind of... it like the first one being that like great version of... is it sort of Osaka that you're like a version of Osaka?
Yeah.
Anyway, that first one being a very...
well, you
like,
go back and forth a little
bit,
right?
Yeah. That first one being a very like... Yeah, classic, like, Japanese city at night.
Yep.
And then this one transplanting it all over to Hawaii. So, you know, it immediately is just, like, looks very similar, all the stuff you liked about it, but it's in such a different location. You know, he's, like, surfing around now. Like, it looks so good. I can't wait.
This is the one where Thingo from the previous Yakuza games.
Yes.
He's rocking up in it.
He's your other playable character?
Yes.
Right.
And
Kiryu, I think. Yes.
Kiryu, yeah. Yes. Yes. Thank
and
you.
He, I can't quite gather how this works, but because the series is turn-based now, but he is still sort of fighting in real time.
Interesting.
When you have him in your party.
Right, yeah.
In some kind of less turn-based way, which is cool.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know how to do it.
Well, because, man, I don't understand how they put out so many fucking games. Because they put out that remaster / remake thing of Ishin earlier this year.
Yep.
And then that fucking...
It's a new game,
right? Must Not Be Named or whatever it's called. I think it's a shorter game. And it's, like, going to be less than full price.
Yeah, it's to kind of catch you up and sort of let you know what he's been up to between
like
the last
now.
One he was in and this next one he's in. So it's a bit of a primer.
That's out next fucking month.
That's out soon.
And then this is 2 months after that.
Yes.
Insane.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I am so tired after having put out less than 20% of a podcast today. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
The amount of work that they're...
What is it? Ryuga
Gotoku Studios, yes. I think it's pronounced.
Yeah.
If you pronounce it poorly, which is, I think, also like the name of the series over there.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But yeah, looks great. Was already looking forward to that, but actually seeing it in a bit more depth was like, oh, this just looks hitting the exact tone that I 100%. Loved from the first one. Not the first one, but
the seventh
one of this, like, version of it.
I mean, yeah, no, remembering, like, my favourite bits of, Like a Dragon 7 or Yakuza 7, Like a Dragon, were like, oh, you run a candy company for 7 hours of the game's runtime.
Yep.
And it's completely its own mechanic, its own world. The presentation is, like, hilarious. Could be its own game.
Mm-hmm.
Like these bloody jokers over at RGG.
Jokers? Now I'm listening.
So talented.
Yeah.
They've made 8 different games within one game.
You've got all your stuff too, where you're like getting your little buddies that you're calling on in battle for just like one big special move.
Yep.
You're going on dates.
Oh.
It looks fun as hell.
And this is, ignoring the story, which, has been fantastic in every Yakuza game that I played.
Yep.
That high drama, the melodrama of it all. Yeah, I'm pumped.
And in this in this video, an almost identical bit as from the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, where someone's riding a Segway around.
Oh, yeah.
You're the Segway.
It is. The Segway.
Speaking of the Segway. I don't actually have anything to go to, but
that could be a little private joke between the two companies. Let's put a segue in our game.
We'll see
in
if
our
big notices.
Game. Yeah. If you play the games back to back, you get to drive a full car.
Oh,
yeah. All 4 wheels.
All right.
We've noticed it.
From TGS, by the way, not much
the girly
else
show.
In terms. Yeah, with Tracy Jordan.
Yeah.
There was that Dragon's Dogma 2 footage,
yes.
Which looked cool.
Yeah,
that
a bit
ninja's
like
being ported to Switch.
Huh?
Who that ninja is being ported to Switch.
I'm so tired. I'm like fucking 7 frames behind everybody.
We haven't even worked a full day, a full office day.
It's nothing to do with that. Time is not relevant. I've just put a lot of effort into the 1 hour we were sitting.
Right, right.
The big thing that people were sort of expecting or hoping for going into Tokyo Game Show was a Monster Hunter next game announcement,
yes.
Which did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
They put up like a 20th anniversary website because the 20th anniversary of Monster Hunter is next year in March.
Ooh.
And people think either because there were big Capcom leaks a while back that have proven to be very accurate that had a currently unannounced but massive, we expect it to sell millions game releasing in March of next year.
Well,
okay.
Methinks a certain hunting game.
Yeah. Now, that's what many thinks before this, and now they no longer think because they're sort of running out of time to even announce that if they were going to do it.
Well, maybe the announcements then.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what they've now pivoted to thinking, is that this website will be the announcement come the anniversary.
Right.
Could also just be a thing where they just give it, they don't give it that long. You know, maybe they like announce it at the Game Awards and then like, yeah, oh yeah,
that's the
months.
Other thing. Because I could imagine the Game Awards also being the type of thing, I don't know how they operate, but to actively approach and poach announcements like that and go, hey, if you do it here, we'll give you X and Y coverage rather than if you do it at Tokyo Game Show, you'll get lost in the muck.
Yeah.
But here you get Pride of Place. Mm-hmm. You get to stand next to the big Bic lighter or whatever that's the fuck thing we've got standing on stage with us.
And Tokyo Game Show does seem more about having the games to play on the show floor than about doing your conferences where you make your big announcements and then it's not hands-on. So it might be a thing where they're just like, well, we're not quite ready for people to go hands-on with it yet, so that's not the forum for it.
Mm.
But yeah, who knows? I mean, yeah, having the announcement of a new one on the anniversary, like coinciding with the actual anniversary, is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's just an announcement, but who knows?
Happy birthday. I'm going to get you a present in a year.
Exactly. Yeah, it's in the mail.
yeah. No, I've got like you want a screenshot of the receipt? My phone just died. I can't show you that actually, but I did get you something. But yeah, not much else out of TGS.
Well, speaking of the mad bastards over at Capcom and product that they definitely have put out semi-recently.
Huh?
Been playing.
Do you want me to say it?
The DLC of Resident Evil 4 Remake, Separate Ways?
That's the one. Because you remember Leon at the end of Resident Evil 4 says to Ada, it's time we go our separate ways.
Right.
Well, it's happened.
Yeah.
It's the like extra. So in the original GameCube version, there was a little short mini campaign that was called Operation Ada. That was this, that you play as Ada, but you go through Resident Evil 4 things. And then when they put out the PS2 port, they were like, we should probably put some extra stuff in there because people maybe are buying the game again.
Yeah,
we want to justify that. So they increased the Operation Ada thing kind of to be Separate Ways.
Okay.
It is a parallel campaign thing that runs alongside the story of Resident Evil 4. It's not as long. I finished it. It's like between 4 and 5 hours.
Right, okay. It's not like, is it 3? Is where you have the parallel, the actual parallel.
You're switching characters.
Two, you have Claire and Leon.
Two.
And you have those two campaigns. So, yeah. This is sort of like that.
Right.
Where you're playing as Ada in Resident Evil 4 story, a little bit before Leon shows up through to the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, it's the cool thing. It's like, this is an out of date comparison now, but like Half-Life Blue Shift and Opposing Force were the same thing, where you're playing as a different character, seeing these events through someone else's eyes. So you're seeing, like, you know, bits where Ada and Leon interacted, you're seeing how she got there.
Yeah.
You're going through a lot of the same areas as were in 4 Remake, like literally the same levels and stuff. There's a couple of new bits.
Okay.
But it's the same fucking awesome game that Resident Evil 4 Remake is, with some new abilities that Ada has. She's got a grappling hook. She can grapple up to a few bits and can also, you know, the guys with the shields. They were walking around. You had to like try and shoot their feet and shit.
Annoying bastards.
Yeah.
Not
there's
anymore.
No way to get over that shield.
Guess what?
And there never will be.
Yeah, I'm willing to put money on it. I mean, and that's a gambling thing. Yeah.
You've not put money on it. You've put your foot in it. Because now you can rip them off with the grappling hook.
Whoa!
And it feels fucking awesome to do.
I'll
the little cunts tumble down the stairs when you do it.
Fuck yep.
Oh, it's so much fun. The game is still great. And it's only $15 and it's like a decent chunk. You can play as her and Wesker, I think, are the new characters in the Mercenaries mode. And
15 donkeys is pretty cheap.
15 donkeys, not bad for this sort of level of thing.
Yeah.
I got a Pepsi Max from the service station on the drive home.
Yeah.
A lot of service station.
And a summer roll. And that was $4.70.
Right. Well, you could have done that three times.
That's actually quite affordable.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
I think I paid like heaps for what I got. I got a Gatorade.
Looking it up.
I got a Gatorade.
You need transactions and looking it up.
yeah, activity, sorry.
Yep. No, this is important. Take all the time you need.
Coles Express, $8
okay.
for a Gatorade and a Snickers bar.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's just is the beefed up version of what I got, I guess.
Two Snickers, two Gatorades actually would probably still be less than Separate Ways because you get deals often at service stations if you buy two of something.
True. I think the Gatorade did have a 2 for $6.
I think
we've made our case that this is good value.
I wish the guy at Coles Express had have just said to me, you know, for just $11 more, you could get the Resident Evil 4 Separate Ways DLC.
I know you want this, but I just need to check. Have you ever heard of Ada Wong?
Yeah.
Because she's been up to some shit while you thought just Leon was doing his thing.
And I would have been like, oh, I know her. I sent death threats to the voice actor.
Look, I will say, and all of that obviously super uncalled for and absurd, reprehensible behavior.
Yeah.
She's not that good. In this,
right.
I don't like the voice, and it's noticeable when you know you're playing as her. But it's not that bad.
Yeah,
you can just play it on mute.
Super fun. A lot of the stuff that was like excluded that was in the main game is now. I don't think I ever played Separate Ways.
Okay, yeah.
But a lot of the stuff that wasn't in the remake that was in the main game, like a boss fight and some stuff like that, is now in this bit.
Oh, cool. Okay, great. Okay.
Really fun. Loved playing Resident Evil 4 some more.
Mm. Yep.
Can't recommend anything other than get it if you like that game.
Yeah, nice. Well, I think I bloody well will.
I'm listening.
Dude, or three Snickers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
three Gatorades.
It was a butterscotch Snickers.
That's an absurd thing to buy.
It was really tasty, but it just tasted like a more sweet Snickers.
Yeah.
Tasted kind of like a Snickers with butterscotch in it. I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah, it's a bit of an indulgence, but you know.
Yeah, good time. Separate Ways.
Cool. Young Australians have never been more lonely. Yet loneliness is rarely discussed and often misunderstood. Season 2 of the We Are Lonely podcast is a part of Medibank's 10-year commitment to reduce chronic loneliness in Australia.
Follow the journey of four diverse 20-somethings on their search for connection.
It's shocking enough to know that half of us will feel lonely this week, but it may surprise you more to learn that young adults are some of the loneliest people in Australia.
If we learn to understand and manage feelings of loneliness, it can be a normal part of the spectrum of human emotions.
Just as we all get hungry or thirsty, we all get lonely. It's a normal part of being human.
But if it becomes chronic, it can have the same impact on us as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Over this six-part reality podcast series, four young people meet with mentors and experts who will help them build strategies to reconnect.
Through their stories, we understand the reality of loneliness in Australia, experienced by a generation that theoretically has never been more connected.
Follow four vastly different young adults as We Are Lonely unpacks the complexity of emotions that come with this formative period in our lives.
We Are Lonely is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Search for We Are Lonely and listen today. This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by our buddies.
Our mates, as we say over here in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Our pals.
Some people say it.
That's universal.
Everybody says Manscaped.
Let's all say it at the same time. 3, 2, 1.
Manscaped.
I love that kind of stuff.
Beautiful.
If you love that sort of satisfying feeling, then you're going to love the satisfaction of having your balls be as exactly as neat and tidy as you desire.
Yeah.
Mm. Manscaped make products that help you do that. Not just ball hair, though.
Nah.
Penis hair as well.
Hey, and face
hair. The skin above the penis. Hey. Mm-hmm. The pubis.
The pubis.
And honestly, any other part of the body at this point. They've got bits of slicing gear for everything. They'll chop off your hairs and they're high quality machines.
In the nose, in the ear,
above
the lips, under the lips.
Oh, yeah.
Both sides.
Respectively, the Weed Whacker 2.0, the Weed Whacker 2.0, the Beard Hedger, and the Beard Hedger.
Yep.
Lawnmower 4.0, optional.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For the body. But yeah, they make good stuff and you should have a look at it. Go to Manscaped and while you're checking out with your goods, make sure you use the code FILTHY. And just between you and me, it's a secret hack that I've planted in their website for you to get 20% off and free shipping.
Wow.
I should have hacked it for 100% off. I'm regretting it now, but it's still a great deal.
Yeah, it's a fantastic deal. Supporting Manscaped helps to support us.
True.
And you still get something out of it.
You get a great product.
Yeah, exactly.
And a great saving.
20%
free
off.
Free shipping.
User code FILTHY at Manscaped. Go on. I dare you.
Off you trot. Well, I've played something to completion this week.
Have you now? The skin flute?
Yeah.
Okay.
That new game plus. Oh, it's a bastard. Oh,
it's difficult.
I've been playing a little indie game called Gunbrella.
Ah, yes.
Published by Devolver Digital and developed by a little team called Doinksoft.
Hell yeah.
Who made a game called Cato Roboto.
Okay.
A little while ago.
Okay. Did you play Cato Roboto?
I did not. And you know what was annoying about this?
What?
Was that if you pre-ordered Gunbrella on the eShop, they were like, you get their first game, Cato Roboto, for free. I was like, oh, cool. So I pre-ordered it, and it does the like automatic download of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
This was like 4 days before Gunbrella came out. And I was like, oh, I'll get started on Cato Roboto before this comes out. Went to open it, and it was locked because it was part of the pack of... In Gunbrella, it was like, oh, this isn't unlocking until
you got doinked,
the release
brother.
Date. Yeah. I got doinked hard.
They were looking to doink you and they did it.
Yeah.
Really annoying. I was like, this game's from like 5 years ago.
That's a bit stupid. Of a weird way of doing it. I assume that's just like a Nintendo, the way pre-orders work on their eShop thing.
It was just someone had not clicked a thing in the eShop to make it like not be its own separate. Weird. But yeah, played Gunbrella, finished it, and had a hell of a time.
All right.
It's a 2D platformer. It's pixel art style. Mm-hmm. You're a little guy who's come home and your wife's dead, your kid's gone, you found this weird little weapon. It's a little, oh, it's just an umbrella. Well, that's handy because it's raining. But, well, I'll be goddamned. This umbrella can shoot people.
This holy bitch shit. Got
bullets
a gun.
Are coming out of it.
It'll be raining bullets, yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
Badass Mary Poppins has been
exactly.
Here.
Okay.
So you got your little umbrella. You're using it as a weapon. You're also using it to kind of like, you can sort of float up into the sky a little bit. You can control your drift. You can use it to like block people that are shooting at you. And you're doing platforming stuff where you're, shooting platforming segments. But then a lot of it is kind of light RPG based. Like you very early on, you get to a little train station and you're kind of like unlocking different towns that you can get to. And then you're needing to like go back to the other towns, talk to some people. There'll be like this cult that have a base that you need to sort of do something in the town in order to get into and sneak into the base underground. So it's kind of half sort of story based, going around, talking to people, solving these little mysteries, and then half platforming using your Gunbrella based abilities. And it feels great. Feels great to control. The mix of like floating around, you're like hooking the umbrella onto like little rope lines and zip lining down into other nice. Areas and stuff. Then using that to like put the umbrella up again and get some height to get up to a higher platform. It feels great. It's got a great style. It's got awesome music. It's got a...
Like a 2D pixel art sort of thing.
2D pixel
right?
art. Yeah, okay. Kind of really eerie sort of soundtrack. But yeah, I really loved it. It's not super... It's like maybe 5 or 6 hours long.
Okay.
But it's...
That's a plus for me.
Yeah. I
love
really,
the clock one.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I
Hell
thought
yeah.
it was... just the tone of it, this like eerie sort of... vaguely post-apocalyptic, like going into these areas that have just been left destitute, and the story isn't amazing, but like the moment-to-moment like writing of the people that you meet and the little things that are going on in these towns is kind of cool. Like,
right.
Yeah, there's this weird cult where you have to like go into their hideout and take them out, and then like various different people in the towns have been like, hey, if you see, they kidnapped my, you know, daughter. If you see them in there, can you like bring them back? And
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's I really, really enjoyed it. Well
Great.
Worth checking out if you like that kind of pixel arty indie platformer kind of thing. That yeah, like the moment to moment gameplay isn't anything too unique that you haven't seen before, but just the actual like style and feel and tone of it was yeah, really what got me over the line with it and made me calm.
Yeah, cool to have a game named what your dad can't remember Bayonetta was called. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Like, yes,
you understood what I was trying to fucking get at there.
But yeah, recommend it. Really,
yeah, no, it's
really fun, high
I've
quality.
Heard
indie.
A lot of like positive stuff from I think everyone who has played it.
Is it what
yeah.
like Switch and PC or is it on the?
I believe
stuff as well?
It's on Steam. Yeah,
might be. Yeah, it's definitely PC as well. I assume it's on the PS eShop. I would assume it's on everything at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know. They often aren't straight away. It's difficult. Yeah. So go look it up.
Go look on Wikipedia for Gunbrella.
Yep.
Do you want to... Yeah, well, okay. I've played another game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, would you like to hear about that? Or?
Yeah, I think this is a good place to talk about it.
Yeah, maybe I'll do it somewhere else. Go on.
Let's take another drive out to the suburbs and talk about it then.
Okay.
Because you said you've just been kind of playing more Starfield.
I have, and I enjoy it. We talked about it off air yesterday and confirmed that even more things about the game seemingly are very coincidentally similar to No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that more people, more reviews and stuff, more coverage isn't talking about how similar it is to No Man's Sky, given it was like announced pretty much when No Man's Sky came out. Mm. Like it was a very similar timing. Mm. And I mean, like, that's fine because I like No Man's Sky and this is like a more, yeah, I guess like we've talked about a couple of times, a more like pre-packaged, streamlined Bethesda style game,
the very
with you know nods towards the No Man's Sky ish sort of stuff.
Yeah,
totally. Like the minute to minute sort of gameplay is usually very different in Starfield, other than the times where you're doing exactly the No Man's Sky scanning and mining and whatever.
But, yes,
but all of the Bethesda style questing and the shooting and whatever, I guess, is pretty different.
Yes. Yeah. But, yeah. It is, and it is. Yeah. They Bethesda have, you know, are continuing to hone that. That format into like, yeah, something extremely easily digestible.
I guess a lot of that stuff too, to be unfair to both of the games,
okay,
is extremely where, you know, Google the word sci-fi trope.
Yep.
And
yep.
Click on the eighth link.
Sure.
No, but it's like
there's a lot of sponsored links at the top.
When you're thinking sci-fi, you think a lot of, I just want to avoid saying what some of the specific things are.
Yeah,
what's the meme of like, hey, can I copy your work? All right, but don't make it too obvious.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. It is that meme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure someone's made
You're
that.
Correct about
can we
that
someone pop must that up in the video instead of cut that in the discussion? But also, you know, in the lead up to No Man's Sky, especially, obviously, the hype was like, well, this is going to be a game of all of those tropes that I've seen in movies and stuff and have wanted to act out and live out and immerse myself in. So, you know, but yeah, I'm still loving Starfield. Mm-hmm. As much as it's not completely original, I'm fucking making spaceships and I'm shooting people with shot. Oh my God, I'm loving it. Yeah.
And you're still powering through the main campaign?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think I've about 20 hours in, so
cool.
Still a little bit to go of the campaign, but and yeah, like haven't made a base yet. Have like there's so many mechanics that I haven't even touched on yet, but yeah.
Speaking of like similarities and between games and stealing other people's homework, I've been playing a bunch of Lies of P, which is the Pinocchio. which still, just even saying the word Pinocchio, as you just saw, makes me laugh.
Yeah,
it's a completely original concept that's never been done before in a game.
This is a Souls game, brother.
Yeah,
through and through, they have taken every single element of those games, which a ton of other games also have.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yes,
these guys have done it
probably
the best so far.
But Geppetto wasn't in any of them.
No.
Nah. And you have to go save Geppetto.
Yeah.
It's like the first thing you're doing. And it's so funny that they made a steampunk Jiminy Cricket by writing it as Gemini.
Yes.
Like a computer AI voice thing would be, but it's still just pronounced Jiminy.
Yep.
And everyone's like, there's Jiminy, and any time it goes off, instead of it going like bleep bleep like an AI would, have a guess what it does.
Cricket, cricket.
Exactly.
Exactly that?
100% identical to that.
That audio of Ben just saying it then is in the game?
That's fucking sick.
That's really freaky.
Yeah.
It's pretty coincidental.
I hope I get royalties.
You won't.
Yeah.
I love the little donkey boy in the demo
There's a donkey guy who you fight.
All that Pinocchio stuff.
As you're going through, you know, you run into characters who, again, very, very soul style, are sort of these mysterious people leaning against a wall who are like, oh, there's a fucking weird big guy over there.
Poking their head out of the window.
And those all have, like, you know, there's a fox one later and all the Pinocchio shit. The Pinocchio stuff is weird too, because, like, it's all Pinocchio, but then the style is very not the cartoon version or anything.
Yeah.
Else.
Yeah.
The style is very similar to a Bloodborne.
Yes.
Where it's a kind of
a gothic steampunk sort of thing, right?
People had slave puppets. The puppets revolted and everyone in this town of Krat is dead. And other than some freaks you meet, and you are
okay.
going through and destroying puppets.
Yeah.
Mostly, some people too. And Ooh. You're a puppet. And
is the final boss the dead terrorist?
I don't know how to interact with that, to be honest. You have to remember that guy.
You have to remember Jeff Dunham.
You've got to have thought about Jeff Dunham.
Series of naughty little puppets.
Mm-hmm. Fuck that guy. It's a fun game. It's a really solidly made Souls style game that, like, is actually scratching the same itch that those games do, which none of the other Souls style of game that I've played so far have quite been able to capture it.
Yeah, because I tried Neo and Neo 2 right after I had, I guess it was last year, where I, you know, loved Elden Ring and played every other From Software game.
Yeah.
Didn't really love the Neo games. And then there was that...
Woe Long.
Yeah, Woe Long, which, again, it almost just suffered for being similar to a Souls game, but not similar enough.
It seems like the tone and the, like, the actual, not just the mechanics, but, like, the weird sensibility is kind of like such a part of it too, which this definitely has. Like, it's so
right. Somewhat,
sort of bizarre.
But also just mechanically, it turns out the answer is don't try to come up with anything on your own.
Yeah.
Just
exactly.
take
if
all
do
of
it,
their shit.
Just straight up do it.
Yeah.
And because, hey, it's allowed in video games for some reason.
Yeah.
It's not in any other art form. You can't just go, oh, we want to make a movie like Wes Anderson, so we'll just do Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
No, it's
yeah.
like, no, you gotta be smart. You got to maybe just use the color pink a little bit.
Sure.
And then
sure.
have everything else be fresh.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not plagiarism, it's just a genre.
Yeah.
Here right, for some reason. Right. And morally, I don't know what I think of that, or, you know, artistically, I don't know what I think of that. But
I mean, yeah, the thing is, if you're okay making that game and having every review be like, it's a ripoff of this other game that was created by someone else and had the, you know, innovation and ingenuity, if you're
words,
okay with that.
Even words as harsh as ripoff don't
sure.
tend to come up, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
people love this style of game. And From sure. or a ways off from making another brand new version of it.
Yeah.
So, well, what are we going to do? Wait 6 years?
Mm.
And I'm having a whale of a time. And I'm stuck inside of that whale.
Oh, nice.
It's so much fun. All of the... It's got the right level of, like, quite punishing difficulty, but you know why you're making the mistakes you're making when they happen. The bosses have been enjoyable so far. The setting is cool.
Talk to us about the weapons.
So, okay.
Well, because that's a little bit different, right? The, like, hilts and the things and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. You're kind of... I haven't interacted with that too much because I've got a really decent weapon that
right.
I'm just enjoying using. But so right at the start, you're picking from one of three sort of styles that are basically, in Souls terms, they would be strength, dex, and then, like, a third, which is balanced, they call it. You've got a ton of different abilities. So you've got a weapon that you can slash, a normal slash. You can charge up a big attack. When an enemy gets sort of deflected or attacked enough, it'll have its health bar glow in white. And that means if you do a charge attack to it, you'll stagger it, which gives you a chance to do the sort of, like, here's a red symbol, you'll go into a big fatal attack.
I was going to say, yeah, that's very Sekiro.
It shares a lot with Sekiro, where a lot of what I'm doing is trying to get the parries.
Yeah, right.
The timing of that down, because the dodge isn't as useful as in the Dark Souls games, especially.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a lot more of a, like, dash out of the way type of thing. You're not getting quite that same timing window I've found where
right.
you can dodge through things like
yeah, I do. I remember that from the demo as well, being like, oh, okay, I can't just 100% translate.
Yeah, but then with the weapons, like you were saying, you gather them from the world as you would, and then they each do have, like, a blade and a hilt, essentially. You can mix and match those things at a weapon guy and create your own different ones. again, I've not really messed with that too much because there are a lot of those sorts of systems because it's taken almost every Souls idea and put it all in because
mm-hmm.
right. you've got a separate other tree where you are upgrading. You, like, so you can upgrade your weapons with a material and just make it stronger and stronger.
Right.
As you can
plus
in Souls.
Plus one, plus two, plus three.
And then
three.
It changes to a different type of that. So it's like moon dust or something, and then it's like super moon dust or whatever to get from level 4 to 6 and so on. Then there's another bit where you can upgrade your character with sort of traits, mm-hmm. like a skill tree progression sort of thing, where you'll be picking from a list of different abilities that might be like you can recharge your fable meter quicker, which is like your special attack mm-hmm. meter that'll grow. And as you get more of those, you're also putting them into a second tier of thing where once I've got two abilities in this section, it will give me another whatever they call Estus flasks.
Oh, yep.
Which I forget what they're called, but you've got them.
Mm-hmm.
It's all Souls
puppet
all the time.
Puppet juice. I think it was puppet juice.
You might be right.
Yeah.
It's... That's what they drink while you're still talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the easiest puppet trick to do.
Yeah.
This puppet will drink a glass of water while I talk to you. Are you impressed?
So, oh, and he's pissing immediately all over the floor.
It's all there from the template that has been laid out for them by From.
Yeah, the other thing is like the Sekiro thing is like the arm thing, right?
Yeah, so you've got like a puppet arm.
Yep.
That has
one of my favorite Indian appetizers. The puppet arm.
Absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
Well, you can have all sorts of different types of them, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you do load it up with it with a topping.
Yep.
That'll be like the one I've got at the moment is a puppet string, which is basically a grappling hook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm on a real grapple hook binge at the moment. So that's another element of customization that you can go and do. There's all sorts of mechanics and systems going on that it feeds to you slow enough that it doesn't become too overwhelming.
Right.
But it is a lot of like stuff to keep in mind that you should be going and looking at and changing and upgrading and whatever.
Yep.
And you're having to, similar to like Dark Souls 3, I guess, teleport back to the sort of main hub
yes.
to go and talk to a lady to level up with your souls, which are called... fucking puppets. I don't remember.
Puppet points, yeah.
Whatever they are.
Yeah.
Puppet bucks.
Yeah.
So once you spend those, mm-hmm. you level up just like in a Souls game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're running around this sort of destroyed world just like in a Souls
little
game.
Little bonfires, little checkpoints.
They're called puppet points or something.
Yeah.
Wait, puppet... no, sorry. That's already been used.
Yeah.
Puppet stations?
Yeah.
They're stargazers, I think, is what they're called. Oh, yeah, because everything is Pinocchio themed.
Yeah.
So it's all star bits and wishing upon a star. There's none of the multiplayer stuff like in a Souls game.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's all single player, but there are equivalents where there'll be a little sort of furnace out the front of a boss room where you can go and chuck some star bullshit in it, and it'll give you an AI person to fight with you rather than
cool.
like a human boss helper.
Yep.
But it's just like it's creative in the way that it's like this is such a strange idea to take Pinocchio and make this like
yeah
deviant art style destroyed edgy Pinocchio world
mm-hmm.
But it really works for some reason, and it's just it's a group of people who've really understood why those From games work and then recreated it but to fill in the gap between Elden Ring in the DLC or whatever. I'm having just such a great time with that. And it's a lot more in the linear style of Souls, which hasn't been around since kind of 2016. Like Sekiro sort of did that too, but Sekiro felt so different in a way.
Yeah.
And you are having to do a lot of that rhythm-based sort of parrying stuff if you mm-hmm. want to be doing this well. But
yeah, there was a lot of remembering from the demo that there was the classic like go here mm-hmm. fight through a couple of difficult people and then what's this, you can unlock that gate now and that gate leads back around, you know. So
the level design's all right, but it's fairly straight and narrow path,
right?
There's not a ton of that maziness to it
mm-hmm.
but Also, like, if you're blocking, you'll still take some damage, but then if you quickly attack the enemy, you'll get some of that health back,
which I think was in Bloodborne. The main distinctive feature of that, yeah.
It is shameless, yeah. But super enjoyable, and it's cool. On Game Pass, so if you've got that,
yes.
It's one of your freebies, which suits it massively and suits anything massively.
Yeah, I love it. Nothing free doesn't suit. But I guess it is the kind of thing where people may not have given it a chance. Where
yeah, I think
may not have played
main,
a Souls game before as right. well. Even where like if this is the one that you're going in on, I do think it is also kind of tuned, assuming that you have played a bit of Souls before.
Right. Yeah,
because it's throwing it at you fairly quick.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I'm really I'm having a great time, which is. So cool after so many games haven't like Steel Rising last year. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like Marie Antoinette one or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Two thumbs up from you? Or 1.5 thumbs up?
Two thumbs up, but they're both being pulled up by strings, so you don't know if I'm sincere. Mm. I'm having fun. I'm having a lot of fun playing a Souls game.
If I had not gone on holiday for 3 weeks, which is a real burden, and wasn't catching up on Starfield. I would have been playing this as well because I loved the demo. I really enjoyed it.
It's super fun. Yeah. If you've liked the Souls games ever, 100% play this. It's a good time.
What are these guys going to make next? Their version of XCOM, but it's Dumbo. What could they be cooking up?
How long is your little Rolodex of games and Disney, whatever?
If that's all they did now as a studio, if that was their identity.
Little fairy tale
Disney. We take a genre and we use a famously now public domain property.
Oh, yeah, Dracula?
Mm-hmm.
Or Frankenstein?
Frankenstein.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Little Frankensteins everywhere.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Go for it. Do whatever. I'm over my. I used to care a lot about plagiarism.
Yeah,
I'm over it.
Yeah,
okay. Take it all.
I mean, I said that last week. So.
Exactly.
Well, it's a good time to not give a fuck about plagiarism because yet another great game that's out at the moment that I believe we've all been playing is Sea of Stars.
I have not had time to play.
Oh, okay.
Chronos of Trigger.
Yeah.
The puppets took me over, so you tell me about it.
Yeah, and I haven't played, I don't think, as much as you, Tommy, so yeah.
But I've played Chrono Trigger, so we can compare notes.
Yeah.
I've not played Chrono Trigger.
Perfect.
So let's
With our powers combined, we'll have a hard time figuring out the similarities between the two.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where it's a Western team. It's the people who made The Messenger, which, by the way, I started playing this, and then I realized, because you told me, Adam, you informed me that this is set in the same universe as The Messenger, which I did not realize. And that made me remember, I never got particularly far in The Messenger. So I went back and I've been playing more of that. And
right.
It's a fucking great game.
Cool. I really enjoyed The Messenger.
A little flip halfway through where you like it changes visual style is neat. But yeah, this is one of those ones where this team, they love their Chrono Trigger. Doesn't seem like anyone else has any interest in making a new one. So they think to themselves, well, you know what? Why don't we just fucking do it for ourselves?
Yeah.
And
I think having played Chrono Trigger, they've done a really good job.
Mm.
It's very similar. The music is fantastic. And I guess one of the distinctive features of Chrono Trigger and several of those games over the others is the writing is good.
Yep.
The story is engaging. The characters feel fleshed out.
Like, yep.
That is such a not a surprise, but it is pleasant.
It's very classic JRPG stuff. You're two little kids, you're part of this.
Yeah.
You're being trained to be these mythical warriors.
Yeah. Sun
warriors.
Sun, soul, sun,
it's all that kind of mythology
puppets?
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, puppies.
Puppies.
Puppy warriors.
Lies of puppy.
Yeah.
And again, much like a JRPG, very long introduction.
Yes.
Kind of takes quite a while to sort of, give you the reins.
I think is good. Like that's where you get that world building character investment. Yeah.
And then you're kind of traversing this overworld, doing some, mild kind of puzzly Zelda dungeon sort of stuff a little bit.
Crawling, yeah.
And then the combat is you've got your regular attack, you've got your special attacks that cost you mana points that are that are kind of
like recharged by just doing normal melee attacks.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. And you build that up through that, and they've each got sort of an element to them.
Yes,
and then when the enemies are attacking you, they will charge up a special attack that might take three moves, and they'll have a little thing appear above their head that's like a little slot machine that'll show three little things kind of at random that might be like two swords and then a sun.
Yep.
So it'll mean like you've got a...
I wonder if this game would be rated R next year then. That's simulated gambling if you're showing a slot machine.
It only looks like a slot machine.
Yeah.
It's just like three little squares.
Like a simulation of one.
It doesn't...
I'm going to get a job at the ratings board and ruin video games.
It doesn't like... Yeah, you don't interact with
like in what was it called? Fucking that Final Fantasy VII prequel thing. What's that called? Crisis Core.
Yeah, Crisis Core.
That had a similar thing.
Yes,
where it's like you're not interacting with it, but it is. That's the way it's showing that it's randomizing it.
Yeah.
So it might be three knives and a sun. So it'll mean you got to hit. You got three turns until this special attack happens. If you can hit it twice, you know, with a knife two times, and then do a sun effect thing on it, that'll negate the attack.
Yeah,
right.
And each time you're clocking one of them off, it's weakening it, but you've got that number of moves too. And so you might end up unlocking a special move that uses your knife, but it has the element of the sun attached to it, so you can knock off two of them. And it's also got the like...
do you have to do them in order? Or
Whenever you get to them. And like it's also got the sort of the timing thing of if you hit A at the right time as you attack, you'll do two jabs, so you might be able to knock off two of the knife icons in the one move if you time it properly. It's cool. It's like it gives it that little bit of not just picking your strongest attack that you ever have and using that to wipe out the enemies.
Yeah.
You'll sort of have your little strategy, and then that comes up, and you know, you might have just you can sort of save up your energy points and attach them to your melee attack and like infuse them with the element. So you might have just done that, and then someone starts doing their special attack and you're like, oh, I should have held on to that because I actually could have knocked some of that off. So it kind of, they appear, and then it kind of makes you sort of pivot your strategy and kind of think differently about what you were planning to do in the battle. It's cool. It's kind of, it's that sort of, it was a similar-ish thing in Octopath Traveler that I really liked, the like limit break kind of thing that you can do in that. But it's cool. It's got great style.
Yeah.
Cool world building. I think it's pretty long. Often with these things, it's like, who knows if that holds up over the entire campaign. But
I've seen people say about 25-ish hours something. So kind of short for like, I think that's a good length. Yeah. But like
absolutely.
Kind of for the scale that so many RPGs and stuff this year included have been doing.
It's a perfect... I mean, yeah, I not everything in this genre has to be 100 hours.
No.
In fact, yeah, most of them could benefit from a lot of editing. But yeah, that's kind of a neat little... and yeah, I hear it stays pretty consistent all the way through from people who finished it. And I think they've just said that they are working now on the DLC for it that is going to link it more cohesively with what is happening in the messenger. Because they... If you saw these two separately, you would not guess that they're the same dev or the same world or universe at all.
No.
Because they're completely different time spans. So it's cool to see how they're going to sort of link the mythology of both of them into each other.
Yeah.
But if you like a good old-fashioned turn-based JRPG, this is really, really good.
I thought the music especially stood out as like A class stuff. Like this isn't, and you, like it takes, I think it takes a lot for me, maybe more so than you guys, to buy into a pixel art 16-bit style throwback game. You know, like my favorite genre is like third person action game from the PS3 onwards. But this one, it hit a weird nostalgia thing that I don't even necessarily have for Chrono Trigger. Like, I played it, I remember it, but it's not my favorite game. But something about it, the presentation was just really good.
It's very charming.
Yeah.
They haven't just done it. They've really thought about, like, their own version of that world and what they like about that. And, because you're right, the pixel art stuff is, it's also, it's just so dime a dozen
yeah.
at this point. Like, there's so fucking many of them for a yeah. lot of reasons. But, like, so it's hard for one to really, like, elevate itself. But this is another one that's on Game Pass as well.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
yeah, worth a look.
Absolutely.
I want to get around to that at some point. It sounds good. But let me tell you, my favorite genre, I don't get in the... just the game Dark Souls
yeah.
turns out is maybe my favorite genre.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is going to do us for this week.
Bunch
right?
of recos.
Yeah.
Bunch of recos.
Yeah,
Resident
yeah.
Evil 4 Remake, Separate Ways, thumb up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Eliza P, thumb up.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two thumbs up today.
Yeah. yeah.
One See for the stars. Fucking ratings board as well.
Oh, yep. yeah.
I got to find another hand.
Starfield, thumbs up.
Yep.
Super Mario Wonder, secret. Preview thumbs hey, up.
A tentative thumb up.
Yeah.
I might turn it around like Caesar at some
That's
point.
That's true. Yeah.
I reserve
yeah.
that right. My tongue might stick out.
Yep.
Imagine hating the full thing. Imagine loving the demo and yeah. then being spun completely around on the full game.
Well, it may happen.
It
so
could happen.
Stay tuned. Don't stop listening to the podcast.
Leave your radio where it is.
Yes.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Come see us at PAX if yeah. you're going to be there, 9 p.m. on the Saturday at the Galar Theatre, filthycasuals.com.au. Get on the Patreon. Get a bonus different show that we do every week.
Yes.
Listen to that where we talk about movies and TV shows.
If you sign up today, then tomorrow in your little Patreon inbox, you'll get us talking about a movie that comes out that day, I think. The Creator.
Yeah, yep. When is the release? Sure.
I think maybe. It's that.
This week, yeah.
Yeah, this week. So, yeah, we went to a media screening for The Creator. So we'll talk about that and a bunch of other shit that we consume that's not video games.
Yes. Get on the YouTube and look at all our videos and stuff. We got tons of shit up there.
So much.
Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Oh, I've been thinking about it, and I don't have one.
Oh, Daddy's sleepy.
I'm so tired today.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Wee. I really tried, I promise.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.